Oh yeah, I'm making that gesture where you take two fingers of one hand and put them towards your eyes, and you flip it around and turn it at the person that you've got your eye on.
Yes,
I'm doing that. I'm doing that. Not at you, Angel Laser. I'm doing that, and not at you, listener. I'm doing it at the no do gooders. That's who deserves the double finger eye.
Don't you feel like our democracy's not dealing like we used to see?
It's news to me, some choose to be enabling this mockery.
It's human and it's history.
Communication is the key.
Now come on, you can talk to me. So what do we do?
Hello and welcome to So What Do We Do? A podcast about hearing the news and still being calm enough to do something about it.
Yeah, I'm Storm and I'm a multifaceted dilettante.
I'm Angel Laser and I am here and just ordered a delivery burrito. Yeah, no, it's all happening for me.
I got to say, I'm a little jealous. I had leftovers, which was good and all, but that ain't a burrito.
No, burrito that just shows up at your house, and it's usually a stand-up comedian who works a day job delivering burritos that I know is really great.
Well, it's nice. There's a place in the world for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
There's a place for everyone.
Portland, small town. Oh my gosh. So today's episode is called All of This Has Happened Before and All of This Will Happen Again, because Cylons. And that's going to be our discussion topic. But before we get into the politics and the news, how do you feel about Cylons, Storm?
Well, if are you talking OG Cylons or, you know, Aaron Douglas, current Cylons? I mean, relatively current.
Yeah.
I think they're cool regardless. They're definitely scary the same way tornadoes are scary, that you really don't in real life want to step into a tornado or really be very close to one unless you're wearing some sort of super secret tornado armor.
Right.
But there's still a fascination. You are drawn to them.
Now,
that is how I feel about Cylons.
A super secret tornado armor is something that anchors you to the ground, or it's like a bubble?
Well, it's a secret, so we can't really know, but the idea is that, you know, there are those folks, or that guy who made that bear suit. I don't mean a suit to look like a bear, but a suit so that he could interact with bears and not be killed. I don't think it worked.
Okay.
I'll have to check into that for you. But the idea is it's some sort of technology that would enable you to experience the joy of a tornado without, say, the dismemberment or crushing of the head and the other things that can happen inside an active, powerful tornado.
Okay. So it's something that definitely exists. It's just secret.
I think so.
Okay.
There are too many secrets. We don't know what's true right now. So it's possible.
It's so true. It's possible. Well, on that note, shall we get into the news, Storm?
Yes, the hastily assembled news.
I have prepared a series of detailed calming situations. They're sort of somewhere between like a fun thing to imagine and like a guided meditation, because I feel like we're really going to need it this week to intersperse with your news items.
Oh, I like it.
So let me know when you're ready.
I think I'm ready. I've tried to include some leavening counterweights to the bad stuff, because there has been a lot of that.
Yes.
So let's see how it plays out.
Okay.
All right. Number one, I'm putting in the win column. Unfortunately, it's not in this country, and you've probably heard about it already, that Marine Le Pen was defeated, but France's far right is far from finished. That's the headline.
Yeah.
But it does demonstrate that the world is not totally kabonkers yet, in that they keep calling it, you know, you can call it alt-right, you can call it far-right, nationalist, whatever. It's basically bigotry, racism, and that's kind of it. And with Marine Le Pen in particular, with her father's party, actual fascism, if you trace it back far enough. And it's still too early to say why it played out that way and what's to come, but at least sort of the steady march of people voting on ignorance seems to have been at least
sort of reversing the Brexit Trump trajectory and kind of hopefully coming back a little bit. We're all seeing that was a bad idea. Maybe
For sure Trump had endorsed Le Pen. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite explicitly. He walked right up to the line on it. So we'll see how it goes there. And it's certainly a different country and they have their own things going on. So, you know, you can't say it was a direct reaction. But still, gonna chalk it up on the side of the good side of the force.
Sounds good. What else you got?
All right, we can't stay on the good side. So, of course, the House of Representatives passed the ACHA, which is more or less an indirect attack on Obamacare and a tax cut rolled all into one. That's the bad news. That's the bad news.
Yes.
Is that if it were enacted the way it currently stands, yeah, a lot of people would directly die. And more it seems like a lot of Republicans seem to be fine with that. And the calculation seems to be that they believe that we have a short enough attention span that we're going to forget and that there won't be any consequences for it. And as reported, most of the people who voted for it didn't even read it. And to me, that kind of says, well, it's because the real point is they want to strip all this money away in order to give tax cuts. And they don't care. It comes down to that.
Yeah.
So I think it's time for some meditation.
Oh,
is it?
Absolutely. All right, Storm, here we go. Please imagine that you are going to meet your cousin's baby for the second time. Okay, so your cousin had a baby and you met it when it was like an infant. And now it's like a toddler. It's like walking around. Okay. And you don't know if obviously when you met the baby, it was very, very tiny, but he's very cute. What's the baby's name? Storm.
Fred.
Yeah. And so you've seen pictures of Fred. Fred's basically like baby Groot level adorable. As a very cute baby. And when you open the door to your cousin's house, Fred looks up from his toys and sees you and says, "Storm!" Like, Fred remembers you just maybe from pictures or from when Fred was a baby and just runs up and gives you a big, gross baby hug.
I love that.
You feel so special. You feel remembered by something pure and adorable.
Oh, I do. I do love that. That is what was required.
Yeah.
You know, that brought some good news to mind that's kind of related to this.
Okay.
That got kind of washed away from the ACHA is that the budget that Congress passed basically did not hew to Trump's priorities at all.
Oh, okay.
So basically with all this stuff, ain't none of it a done deal.
Yeah.
So, there we go. See, meditation works.
There we go. Yay.
Yeah. Right on, Fred. Okay. How much more can we take here, folks? How much more do you want?
Well, let's do it. Let's get the people informed. Just, you know, so we don't have to look directly into the sunlight.
All right, and I'm going to roll through a couple quickly.
Okay.
This has to do with immigration and dehumanization, that the state of Texas just banned sanctuary cities. Mm-hmm. And counter to that, the ACLU has gone after the Texas governor over this unconstitutional law banning sanctuary cities.
And what is sanctuary cities?
The basic idea is that a lot of cities have declared that they are not going to obey orders from the federal government to enforce federal immigration laws of certain sorts.
Okay.
Basically, the knock on your door stuff, the papers, please, the round them up, all that stuff. These cities have said, you know what, we don't believe that's constitutional. We believe that it's an overreach. And a lot of cities have said, we ain't going to do it. In Texas, because the Texas governor is very much right wing, he's decided, no, you know what? You cities belong to the state, and if you refuse these orders, we're going to punish you, and that would take the form of both financial penalties and possibly even locking people up. I have not read it in great detail, but these type of actions are starting to percolate in the states that supported Trump and where Republicans have power, not all of them, but it does point out that the next big battles are almost certain to be more local in nature, and it hasn't happened yet. So that's more of a horizon thing.
Yeah.
But there are things that we can do right now. Support the ACLU for sure.
For sure. Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank goodness for the ACLU. All right. You ready for another meditation there, Storm?
Yeah, let's med it.
Okay. So Storm and listener, we'll make it more general. You should be
meditating with us. Okay. Of course.
Your friend mentioned just offhand one time, it's like you were at a store together and they said, "Oh, that thing, man, that thing is cool." And you remembered it and you wrote it down, right? So for your friend's next birthday, you bought them this bauble, this thing. Just like you have a hard time remembering to buy people presents. You wrote it down. You were like, "Oh, yeah, I'll remember that. I'll bring it to them." And when they open the present, they are so touched. It was the first nice thing that happened to them that day. And they were just hoping that someone would do something genuine. And you did. And they start crying. And they make you a thank you note that's handmade. And they draw a picture of you two being friends. And you really changed their day. You turned their week around. They display this bauble that you got them prominently in their home. And it's a reminder that you are a good friend who cares and that they acknowledge it.
Oh, that is really fantastic. I actually have a fear of giving bad gifts.
Yeah.
But the upside of that is that they really can make a difference, especially when they're not expected.
Yeah. I am very scared of giving gifts, but I start just writing down anytime anybody mentions a specific object, and that's the only way I can figure out how to do it.
That's a terrific idea, a really terrific idea, and I'm gonna adopt that idea. And that can get all of us over the hump.
Yeah.
Those of you who are listening who maybe also have trouble with gifts,
friendship,
lists and friendship, they go hand in hand.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
What else you got?
Okay, this is going to be a runner, much like the whole Trump-Russia. Not going to cover that this week.
Okay.
But Attorney General Jeff Sessions is not a nice man, assuming you are not a straight white male.
Correct.
Full disclosure, I am a straight white male and still do not find him to be a very nice man.
Yeah.
In particular, I've got a couple of headlines. Justice Department will not charge Baton Rouge officers in fatal shooting of Alton Sterling.
Oh, jeez.
And this is an individual who there was video of him being shot and killed in what appears to be cold blood.
Yeah.
And that it's not unusual that the Department of Justice would not pursue a case like this, but because it apparently is it's a very high bar. But the fact that they simply didn't even glance at it, just dismissed it, given prior pattern with the Attorney General not being particularly friendly to communities of color in particular in favor of supporting police actions at all costs, it's a bit of a canary in a coal mine, it seems.
Yeah.
So that's one headline. And the second is, the U.S. Department of Justice is literally prosecuting a woman for laughing at Jeff Sessions. And this is a woman who, during the Attorney General's confirmation hearing, I guess laughed a little bit by most accounts, or actually all accounts I've read. It was hardly audible, certainly did not disturb things, and she was escorted out, at which point she did make a scene and is now being prosecuted for it. And even though this is a person who was known as a protester with the group, I believe, Code Pink, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that this is the type of behavior that's thuggish and puts a chill on free speech.
Yeah.
You know, this is where it starts. And I'm going to tag one on that's not Jeff Sessions, but the FCC is also investigating Colbert to see if they should take appropriate action on his anti-Trump rant. And again, the FCC, by statute, I believe, needs to investigate every single complaint. But again, in this environment, when it reaches a point of prominence, you got to say this looks like intimidation.
Yeah.
So that's no good.
I was looking into that because that sounded so wacky, and it looked like basically the FCC. Mr. FCC went on like talk radio and was just like, "I guess we'll look into that," which literally just sounds like a way to freak comedians out into like thinking before they criticize the president. Doesn't
That's right.
seem like something would really come of it, although maybe it will. But it's more just if we leak that we are investigating, oh, so scary, then maybe they'll think twice, which is just so...
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's what's happening there, in that, in fact, they probably don't want to prosecute. You don't want to create a hero and a martyr.
Yeah.
You want to freeze out everyone else. So if I were a talk show host right now, like, you know, send a memo around to everybody, just rant the effing F right now.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just do it. Sort of like, yeah, just do that.
Yeah, gosh.
If you're listening and you have a talk show
yeah.
with an audience of, say, hundreds of thousands or millions of people,
yeah.
that's your to-do list for the week.
You are not afraid. Show that you are not afraid. So, listener, here's what happened. You woke up and it's Sunday morning and you are hungry, but you remember that you didn't buy any groceries. And so you're like, oh, no, now I don't have any food in my house, but I don't want to go buy food. Like, it's expensive to get brunch. There's going to be really long lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then your friend texts you and says, I'm at the grocery store. Do you want me to bring over some, like, Reese's Puffs and we can watch cartoons?
Yeah.
So you get some Reese's Puffs, maybe, like, some eggs and cheese, and you just chill. And it's like food that you weren't expecting and friendship right there on that Sunday morning.
That is friendship. Unexpected puffs are the soul,
yeah.
the very soul of it, right when you needed it. That's wonderful.
Unexpected wonderful. Puffs are the soul of friendship.
Yeah, I'm seeing that in Needlepoint right now.
Yeah.
Like the sampler with the letters all around it, and
yeah.
maybe you know the Reese's logo.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
Reese's is not a sponsor. Reese's, if you're listening, we will happily sell ourselves out to you.
Mm-hmm.
Call us.
All right.
You know what? I think we're newsed up
okay.
at this point. There's certainly a lot of other stuff that happened, but that gives you at least a general sense of what's going on.
Yeah. It was a tough week. You know, we didn't think that the healthcare was going to do what it did, and then it did, and that was scary, for sure.
A bit of an ambush.
Yeah.
A bit of an ambush. And that seems to be the way of things, and why it's like they put out the most outrageous thing, and then when the rather outrageous thing happens, you go, oh, phew, that was close.
Yeah.
And it's this constant tick, tick, tick of setting that bar further and further into the crazy zone.
Yeah.
So...
Which is glad I'm glad that we're keeping track, you know, just like the constantly keep track of the little things that happen so you know that it's coming, I guess. But
oh, yeah, I'm making that gesture where you take two fingers of one hand and put them towards your eyes and you flip it around and turn it at the person that you've got your eye on.
Yes.
I'm doing that. Not at you, Angelazer. I'm
yeah.
doing that. And not at you, listener. I'm doing it at the no-do-gooders. That's who deserves
right.
the double finger eye.
Yeah, I mean, you're more physically proximate to DC than me, so I imagine that's what you're doing.
I've got like a floodlight that does that.
Oh,
it's
cool.
A light with two fingers.
It's like the bat signal, but for watch yourself.
It's the bat finger, yes. And you know, it's because you know, I live in Arlington, which is right across the river from DC, mm-hmm. and at a good angle, it actually doesn't take much adjustment I just kind of tap it a bit, and it swings it from aiming at the White House over to Capitol Hill, because, you know, Trump is hardly ever at the White House.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, the bat finger. It goes up every night.
Okay, so let's hit it into our discussion topic.
Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
This week, I want to talk about the past. So this isn't the first time, obviously, we have had a conservative president. It's not even the first time we've had a homophobic administration, a racist administration. Like, things have gotten better over time, and they've also mm-hmm. gotten worse. So it certainly feels like the world is ending, and I don't think we should ignore fear or or that feeling. But I want to put this in the context for myself. You know, I am a millennial. Obama has been president since I was in college. And so, Storm, I was hoping we could talk a little bit about what has happened in the past and what we do about it.
Yeah, no, that's, I think that's terrific and useful. And for context, I grew up in the 70s, and I did not experience firsthand the joy that was Richard Nixon's administration, but did get at least the flavor of it growing up. Both of my parents were bureaucrats at different departments of the federal government. And then under Reagan, actually a lot of this stuff is still an echo of what happened under Reagan.
Yeah.
So I would even add that to this arc.
So I think a thing that I occasionally am hearing recently that it does actually seem to help the way I'm feeling is just hearing about horrible nightmares that came before and knowing that we got through them. I mean, obviously horrible nightmares have happened before and it has had a terrible effect on the world and people have died, but you know that it is possible to get through that and to gain more civil liberties for the world afterwards. So I don't know if you have a specific example of maybe like right after an election, or I mean, I have George W. as my question, but something that happened in the hopelessness, but what comes afterwards?
If you can lead with what came to mind for you,
sure.
On this,
I mean, what did it feel like when Bush Jr. won the election? You know,
it was a huge punch to the gut. It really, really was. It did not feel the same as Trump.
Yeah,
I will say the sense of despair was much greater.
Yeah,
I did vote for. I voted for every Democratic presidential candidate.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
At least since I've been a voting age, my first was Bill Clinton's first term.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was more, and I was in college, I think. Hard to remember anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When Bush was elected. But yeah, just the idea that someone who didn't seem to have the entire country in mind when they said my fellow Americans would be elected, and that it would be done in this manner where it came down to the Supreme Court, and that it was so blatantly partisan what was happening, and that there was obviously a machine behind it that was pushing to make it happen. I don't want to get into the details of what happened.
Yeah.
And they're well recorded, but that you had dedicated, well-financed, and determined people who went down to Florida to really strong-arm that process, and they had enough of the levers of power to be able to force it. They, you know, they controlled enough of the state government that they were able to control the recount process, and everything hinged on that. And at the time, even as contentious as it was, there was still a general respect for the government and its process.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the thing that's going all the way back to Nixon has eroded the most.
Yeah.
Over all this time.
Well,
so that's not a specific example.
No, but you know, yeah. And I guess my next question for just my psyche is then, can you remember a victory after that you felt like would never come but did?
Obama being elected.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I remember once it was official, cranking my stereo, the Who's Won't Be Fooled Again,
yeah,
at max volume. It did feel like a huge weight had lifted. There was really this palpable fear, and just a lot of it came from how the country was, I feel, perverted with the Iraq war,
yeah,
coming off the heels of 9/11, which was a genuine tragedy, and that was just perverted to achieve these very specific goals, and all the other things that followed along that fear. Although I do feel like those years have to some degree inoculated this country, that so many people, whether you're an adult or you're growing up with it, in hindsight, we now know that a lot of that fear was false, and that a lot of the things that were done in the name of that fear were false.
Yeah.
And they're trying that playbook now, and among the people who are already behind all of these policies, sure, it's going to work because they're simply behind it. But it's not working, and I even wonder if there were something horrible and horrific that happened, I don't think this country would have the same reaction to it. I do not see rallying around Trump, and that's, I think, a danger to this country. Because remember, the world is not about the United States.
Yeah.
It's a big place. So, yeah, I'll call that a victory, that I feel like that we have seen that there is a kinder way to govern, and also that there is some level of inoculation to that sort of food.
The fear tactics. And I mean, there has to be, you know, sort of a positive. You were talking about, you know, the lack of trust in the government and the system. And that is, I think, good and bad. Like, people have a skepticism of what politicians are saying, but then also that's how we got this president. So it's, I don't know. It seems like a weird trajectory to be on.
Yeah, and that's part of what got perverted, is there's a difference between skepticism and just arguing any point that will gain you victory, you know.
Right.
That the idea, this mantra of government is bad, government is bad, government is bad, you can't trust the government, that was really greatly born from Nixon.
Yeah.
And before that, Kennedy assassination really shook people's faith, not in the same way. But for it to be this knee-jerk thing is, in my estimation, reckless. Because if we don't have the government, then you just somebody is going to wield the power, right? And the government is a way that there's accountability to that power.
Yeah.
So it seems a little silly to say that the government is a bad thing, because when it works properly, the government is all of us.
Yeah. No, that's definitely the scary part, is if we could keep people who believe in transparency going, that would be a good government. That would be nice.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
So I think sort of the other, I guess, hopeful things coming through, and I don't know if you have an eye for this pattern, but like trying to, you know, as a reaction to a president who may not get stuff done, or who you realize is not what you wanted, it seems like that kind of flips the country as well, like president wise and Congress wise. I don't know if that sense
yes.
made sense, but having, like, knowing that might happen.
Yes. Follow me on this.
Okay.
I did a lot of gardening this weekend.
Great.
Right? And reason I had to do a lot of gardening is there are whole sections of my yard. It's not massive, but big enough that if you don't pay attention to them, little weeds grow.
Yeah.
And at first, they're weeds that are easy to get rid of. You just rip them up, they're gone. But other weeds will then dig in until suddenly you have this yard where you need to take two entire weekends to have it not be a jungle.
Yeah.
And in this metaphor, we are the weeds. Because, yeah, they're trying to push all these things forward, but there are all these corners where they're either not looking, or they have created the situation where good things can grow. I know that's weird to call weeds good things. Mm-hmm. I've lost the handle on this metaphor.
No, I'm with you. It's great.
But the point is, yeah, there is great cause for hope, because we've all been activated and there are a lot of things that we can do. So that's a positive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks for zooming out with me a little bit. I mean, it's, oh, boy, is it ever stressful. Let's do another. Let's do another meditation.
Yeah. I could use that.
Okay.
I'm thinking about weeds and it's not good.
No. Okay. Let's say you were in your garden all day, working, and you walked around. You did a lot of work, and it was very satisfying. But you're very tired. You walk down the street to your favorite restaurant. And as you mm-hmm. enter, the proprietor, who you know, you recognize, but has never said hi to you before, greets you by name and says, the usual. And that they already have it ready. They saw you walking by and hands you, a nice cold beverage and a well-deserved meal after a long day of work. I'm hungry. A lot of my meditations are food-related today. I apologize, but.
You never, at least to me, never have to apologize and apologize for talking about food.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, and I feel refreshed. I really do.
I think maybe for you, Storm, somebody like overnight FedExed you some small soup from Indianapolis. It just shows up. It's warm.
To clue you in, small soup is a chicken tortilla soup produced by a restaurant called La Hacienda in Indianapolis. There are several locations where it costs about a quarter and is just the most delicious and satisfying soup experience.
Yeah.
So recommend it. You could go four hours out of your way for this soup and be better for it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I have a couple questions I'd like to dig into. The first one actually has a little bit to do with that discussion topic, and I'm just going to read it in a normal voice because it's a good but very serious question, mm-hmm. if that's all right with you, Storm.
Yes, that's great.
Okay. An anonymous listener asks, as a trans person, I am really worried about the rolling back of Section 1557. Is this something to be honestly worried about, or is it just another scare tactic? And this is part of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare mm-hmm. stuff that's being that's part of the thing that just passed Congress this mm-hmm. week, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Storm, you are smarter than me about this stuff. What do you have to say?
I have not read in depth about it, but I have read in shallow.
Yeah.
Enough to say that I don't believe there's any immediate effect. There's not going to be suddenly widespread issues, but I think it does add to the pattern and add to the acceptance of different types of bigotry that when the government pulls things away, that it tacitly allows certain behaviors, especially when you have a Justice Department that isn't going to stick up for people.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like there's no reason that you need to, you know, take a few deep breaths. Sort of the nice thing is that if anything were to happen where people were directly harmed, or where it was very clear they were coming to harm, I believe that there's already a pattern and willingness of people stepping up, and not just in the way of expressing outrage on Twitter, but putting their bodies out there, showing up places, and looking out for one another. And this is actually, we'll get to it under serving suggestions, but there are things that we can do to look out for one another. And that, of course, there are wider things that the government supplies and that businesses do that can't be handled on an individual basis. But that those things, I don't believe are happening yet. And when they do, that's why we are all communicating and thinking about these things, so that, leaders will be able to come forth and beat it back. So
yeah,
that's how I feel about it. Again, I have not looked carefully into this particular issue.
Yeah.
But at least for how the pattern has been right now, the yellow flag is up for sure. But I would not. It's not time to hide under the covers quite yet.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's terrifying. And I think one of my biggest worries right now with all of the Trump nonsense and all of this is for my trans friends, and there was progress being made, and now there's so much hateful reaction, both in just sentiment and in legislation. It's dangerous and terrifying. And you said we have something in serving suggestions we're going to talk about, but just, you know, tell your friends that you love them and care about them, and we all have to stick together. Anyway, I can't fix it. We love you. Thank you for asking a question.
Yeah, we do love you. And I'm going to go ahead with this serving suggestion.
Yeah, please.
It dovetails with one of the earlier ones, but I'll go ahead.
Yeah.
And it's be a gender advocate, a gender accomplice. And there is a site that I've recently been showed called illgowithyou.org.
Yeah.
And their philosophy is be the change. I'm reading from their site.
Yeah.
Be the change you want to see in the world. If you see someone being bullied for their gender expression or identity, speak up, help them get out, or get help. And this is specifically with restrooms.
Yeah.
In that there are states and cities and areas that are highly hostile in some cases to trans people. And this website is a program with information on how to stand up for trans individuals in public spaces. And I have not read through it in depth. I literally saw it for the first time ever yesterday. But I do recommend checking that out, especially. And even if there aren't trans people in your life or that you know, that the idea is, I think you have a button that you would wear that says, hey, you know, I've read up. I'm aware that there's something that I can do, and that if someone does feel unsafe, that they would know they could approach you and you would be able to help them resolve the situation.
Yeah. That's, you know, just part of being the body and using your privilege to help those who don't have it. And Jackie Cation is an amazing stand-up comedian, and her main thesis in life right now is just to get in the way of bad behavior, which I think is wonderful. Well, on a lighter note, we have another listener question, Storm.
Okay.
I will introduce it with a little meditation, just as a transition, which is... You are called in to work on a weekend and you have to do some work, and you're like, okay, I'll do it just to be a good person. But then at the end of it, your boss gives you a bonus in cash, right?
Wow.
Just like a pocketful of 20s. There you go. Okay. Huh. All right, Storm, what's our question?
What?
Our next question right here is...
There it is. Yeah. Sorry, my microphone setup is not what it should be, and I kind of can't look at the screen well and talk properly into the mic at the same time. I need to fix that. Okay, the question is, okay, Storm, because this one is not quite as serious as the last question. If making something is the best way to keep happy in this shitty time, where's your next album? Signed, Anonymous.
Yeah, they got you there, Storm.
They got me. And you know what? You know what? I got them.
You did.
You
pregged up so hard.
I am, in fact, working on an album. Paul and Storm continue to do what we do. But I have always done fun but not funny songs. But they just don't fit in Paul and Storm. Like, they're not for laughs.
Yeah.
And I am committed at this point to producing an album of them. And it is entirely because of how I feel. Like, my reaction to all of this is, like, some people, they say, oh, this is going to be a great time for music because there's going to be, you know, protest music and this and that. But for me, cats.
Yeah.
They sometimes, when they are in great duress, they will purr.
Uh-huh.
And... it's believed it's because it it calms himself down, much like your meditations do.
Wow.
And I'm finding that writing fun and generally happy music with a menacing undertone is calming to me.
Fun and gentle with a menacing undertone is just the subhead for cats, I think. So I like that.
Yeah. So that look for that in, well, probably doing a crowdfunding thing soon, but
cool.
Won't be out for a while, probably not for a year. But thanks for asking. And Angela, you are certainly a musical juggernaut right now.
Yeah, there's so much going on. We're all making... I'm actually, right after we finish this podcast, going to go pick up Danielle Anderson from Danielle at the Sandwich from the airport, and we're going to go record our album this week, vocals and harmonies and stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're expecting lots of panic attacks and tears, as is tradition with art. But, you know, if you expect it, maybe it'll be okay.
You know, sometimes it takes the tears to pour the beers.
There you go. Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's take a quick musical break and then get into our serving suggestions and our final words. Okay, Storm, what do we do? So what do we do? Storm, so what? What do we do?
The problem is there's so much we can do. There is so much we can do.
That's an opportunity problem, a propertunitor.
Yes, it's a do-attunity. And I'm going to go with low engagement first.
Okay.
And not a huge time commitment. Research where you are registered to vote and or donate to campaigns of people who are opposing the folks who voted to repeal the ACA.
Yes.
Because, you know, for some people, you might not have the bucks to donate, but that doesn't mean that you can't do stuff. And for other folks, you may not have a lot of time, but you do have some bucks to do stuff. So something for everybody. But if you go to usa.gov/register-to-vote, it has information on that. And then if you are registered, maybe haven't voted for a while, make sure you're active. And the great resource for opposing folks who voted to repeal the ACA is actblue.com. And if you just search actblue and no AHCA, mm-hmm. you'll find their campaign, which I did donate to because I did have a little bit of bucks for that kind of thing. So
wonderful. And those links will be in the description of this podcast. I almost said Kickstarter. I gotta stop running Kickstarters.
But that's very direct stuff. Like the medium to long game here is putting people into office that will stop the madness.
Yeah. I mean, and even short game is just like show people who voted to repeal the ACA that they messed up.
Absolutely. What's one of the closest things they track is when money is coming in. Mm-hmm. So let's rattle that cage and know that they also track voter registrations, and if they see that voter registrations are up in a lot of these places, rattle that cage. All right. I have a low to maybe in the future medium and even high engagement item.
All right.
This is super exciting, and I have alluded to it in prior podcasts.
Yes.
You should walk and not run and not run and not jump, but speed your way. I got there.
You did it.
To sign up for Pat Rothfuss's activism project.
Yes.
Now, this is something that I guess I have a consulting role with it. But if you, and this will be in the links as well, but mm-hmm. if you write an email to activism@patrothfuss.com or Google Pat Rothfuss and activism, you'll likely get the blog post. And the first weekly email is going out, I believe, today. And
ooh.
Today is Tuesday.
Okay.
Today. And it's starting with that. And I think right now there are over 3,000 people involved. And the idea is to match news and activism, almost similar to what we're doing here on this podcast.
Nice.
But we're going to see where it goes. And the more of us they are, the more we're really going to be able to do stuff both at the on the big level and at the local level. So run, do it, hie away, activism at patrothfuss.com.
Yeah, he's got a beard. He'll save the world.
Ha! Yes, he is using the heck out of his positions of privilege.
That's good. It's good.
And the third one was I'llGoWithYou.org, and we covered that. Yeah. So there's a lot. There's a lot that we can do on grand and small scales.
The more bad things happen, the more we can do to fix it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful. Well, that's the end of our podcast. Storm, do you have any final words you would like to say?
You know what? All these words have been pretty great.
Yeah.
And the meditation's been better. And we're going to do this. Let's get all up in grills.
Let's get up in the grills and make the burgers of justice.
Yeah. What do you got, Angela?
It's been worse and it's not good, and that's not a good reason to give up, but it's been worse and it got better. So remember that when you are feeling hopeless and crying on your floor. Also, we love you, and remember that.
we do love you.
I also just wanted to say we welcome your feedback. I feel like this podcast is a project I'm really enjoying working on, but I fear my personal self that we're walking the line between trivializing suffering and trying to make this podcast pleasant to listen to. So if you have any feedback about that, please let us know. We're on Twitter and Facebook at So What Do We Do Pod and at So What Do We Do Pod.com. You can send us questions or comments at ask.fm/So What Do We Do Pod, and we would love to hear from you.
Yes. Yes, we are a machine that is fueled in part by feedback.
Yes, we actually have a few questions that will be running our next episode next week, which is about empathy, which sounds intimidating in a way the word empathy never has before. So we look forward to talking about that, and let us know if you have any questions or suggestions on that topic. Storm, thank you so much for talking to me. I got to go get my burrito.
Oh, you enjoy that burrito, and likewise. Thanks for keeping our heads on straight.
We're going to make it. Remember your baby cousin, Fred, and the big hug you got.
Aw, thanks, Fred.